Wish I could be dancing now in the arms of the girl I love. Mary Bradley waits at home. She's been waiting 2 years long. Wish I was at home for Christmas.
Is Lead Student Radio.
Would you say we'd be venturing into a zone of danger?
Danger Zone, every Friday from 7 p.m. at Fab Cafe, playing the pop and rock anthems you love. With drink deals all night long, there's only one place where everyone's your wingman. Danger Zone, only at Fab Cafe.
A family-run business with over 40 years' experience in providing affordable and reliable accommodation.
Winners of the Leeds Landlord Award.
You should look no further than Spencer Properties when choosing where to live next year.
Spencer Properties own all the homes they let out and work closely with the Knowledge Project to promote safe, reliable housing for student and professional communities.
Visit spencer-properties.co.uk for more information and follow at Spencer Prop on Twitter for all their latest listings.
Spencer Properties, the number one provider of quality accommodation in Leeds.
This is Leeds Student Radio.
Live from Leeds University Union.
At the heart of your student life.
The things that matter to you.
To you.
To you.
To you.
Your news.
Your views.
Your life in Leeds.
Live at five.
This is The Beat in association with Amber Cars.
Download our app for the quickest taxi service in Leeds.
Broadcasting 24 hours a day from Leeds University Union.
The sound of students in Leeds.
This is Leeds Student Radio.
Hey guys, welcome to the Student Cookbook, and since it's nearly Christmas, we're having a Christmas-themed show today.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! So, I've got an international Christmas feature coming up. I'm Ella, I'll be your lead presenter. What else have we got on today?
I'm Beth, and I'm going to be telling you how to make a wonderful Christmas pudding for you and your flatmates.
I'm Izzy, and I'm going to be giving you a list of the best things to do at a Christmas party to wow your friends.
I'm Chaz, and I'm going to be bringing you three amazingly interesting facts about Christmas food that you may not know.
I'm Emily. I'm doing Vegetarian Christmas today.
Sounds great. So it's our last show of the term today. Sad times. But we've got some great Christmas tunes coming up. So we've got Baby It's Cold Outside. But first up, I think we are going to be playing Do They Know It's Christmas? I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day by Wizard.
Do They Know It's Christmas?
After that, we will be going into some party food and cupboard creation-y kind of things with Issy and Beth. We'll see you in a sec.
Jump into your bed, pick the cover up your head. Don't you like
Welcome back to the Student Cookbook. It's about 7 minutes past one, and now we've got some party food, Christmassy theme food with Issy and Beth.
Yeah.
Issy,
do you want
to go first?
Well, yeah, I mean, it has to probably be my favourite thing about Christmas, being able to be a host and being like, just showing off, basically. I love it. So yeah, I thought I'd do just a few ideas for what you could do for a Christmas party. My house are having a kind of like nibbly, very sophisticated, obviously, thing tonight, and I've nicked a few of their ideas as well.
Students,
so thanks
and
to them.
Sophistication can go together.
Yeah, definitely. We tried to do it a couple of years ago, and it started off so well, and ended up not so well. So we'll see how tonight goes. But a few ideas that we, like me and my mum especially, always do at kind of Christmassy parties and things like that. Sausages and honey and mustard, such a great, they just smell so great as well. And stuffing balls and things like that. You can do loads of different types of stuffing and just have nice selection.
Is that just with sausage meat? And
you can do, yeah, the sausage meat ones, or like a sage and onion type one for veggies.
I quite like lemon and parsley. That's what my mum always does at home.
Yeah, and great selection. You know, have them all. And then my housemate tonight is doing a Brussels sprout salad. Try saying that like 20 times.
Brussels sprout salad.
New tongue twister. Well, yeah, I asked the same question, but it is Brussels sprouts chopped really finely, or like not shredded, but you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. And then it was almost like a coleslaw, but without mayonnaise. So you put in loads of walnuts, toasted walnuts, like lemon juice, olive oil, salt and pepper, and apparently, yeah, it's just really
great. So the Brussels sprouts
really
get a bit of a makeover.
Though. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so something like different it. To do with your Brussels sprouts, which I'm really looking forward to trying tonight, so I'll let you know how it goes. My other housemate's making a bacon and quiche tart, so that's quite nice with some Gruyere, another one I can't pronounce because we got it really cheap in co-op for like 79p when it was on offer. Yes. Some other great ideas are kind of coronation chicken and things like that. Really, really easy to make, just with a bit of curry paste, apricot jam and mayonnaise. And it always goes so quickly at parties. And you can put kind of raisins in as well. It gives it that kind of like Christmassy taste. I always do a mackerel pâté, which is, again, just one of my faves.
Is that because of the whole Scottish thing, the mackerel pâté?
I was going to say, it's quite their fish, don't they?
It's delicious.
It is great. Although my friend did think she hates all fish and things like that. And at a party, she thought it was hummus, so took like a big dip of it. I was like, bleh. But yeah, that's just like smoked mackerel blended up with creme fraiche and pepper and salt and a bit of horseradish. And it's so great on like little oatcakes or things like that. A range of dips is always great. We love
dips and breadsticks.
Yeah,
like, I don't know, for my family, it's like a traditional sort of like part of nibbles. Obviously, it's not the main event, but like a bit of alioli. That's the best dip you can
nice,
get.
Nice, yeah. We've been making some tzatziki at home at the moment, and some baba ganoush, which is a great... Just put the whole aubergine in the oven and burn it for a bit. Then scoop out the insides and put garlic and olive oil in, and it's so yummy. What else have we got? As the pièce de résistance, my French accent is really great. A sausage and apple plait. So you like get some puff pastry and score it in three parts, and then put down the middle some the sausage meat and fried onions and apples, and then just plait the other two bits on top and put it in the oven for 35 minutes. And it just looks so pretty and like you've like made such an effort, but actually
it's not
you don't have to tell anyone.
Sounds
that it's
like
that easy.
Someone would make on Bake Off, you know, when they have to do like a plaited
some kind of plaited bread or something like that.
I think they've like sausage and apple went well together.
Sausage and apple is great.
I think I'm gonna
nick that idea.
That's like it. It's really good, and it kind of is a bit like the stuffingy taste. It's kind of Christmassy and with a bit of sage in.
It's one of the best parts.
Yeah.
Nutmeg
too.
In there, and you'll have like
you can change up the flavors. And then for pudding, and my friend's doing a cocoa what's it called, froyo thing tonight to kind of like go with the snow theme. And I'm not doing it tonight, unfortunately, but usually I do a chocolate mousse. And it's Jamie Oliver recipe, and it's just so great with amaretto. Do you guys like amaretto?
Love amaretto.
Because it always splits people, I think, amaretto. Like, some people love it, some people hate it.
I think it's because it's quite sweet.
Yeah.
It's very sweet.
And,
very
and not a lot of people like almonds.
I think it's
perceived
as a girly drink. Am I wrong in saying that?
Well, stuff like DiSerrano with a nice pretty bottle and stuff. I think, yeah. Like, whenever I work bars, I have man asks for DiSerrano and cake, and I always judge him.
Well, that's how I first had it. I went over to a friend's house, and he was like, oh, do you want some of this? And I'd never had it before. But he had like three bottles of it. It was clearly had a problem.
I love it. I used to have a bottle, just like put a couple of shots in my hot chocolate at winter. So,
so how many people are coming to your little?
We've only got eight or nine, I think. It's quite a...
You say only eight or nine, that's still quite a lot to cook.
Yeah, it is. But I don't think we're doing all of the things. This was kind of like the extended menu, and we've had to trim it down a bit.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, we'll see what's... I still haven't done my part yet. So.
Another pudding idea, Beth, is Christmas pudding. And a shortcut, or is it kind
of... Basically, this Christmas pudding, it's the kind of thing you can make at your student flat. It won't cost you too much. And it's quite nice as well because it gives you that option to sort of change it up. I know like some people obviously will be allergic to nuts, which means that you can't buy the shop. But once some people don't like certain things that go into them, this one allows you to add your own alcohol. So it's all a bit sort of leaves it down to you. Because I think sometimes Christmas pudding can really divide people. It can be a bit sort of too strong or some people like it stronger. So this is just... simple Christmas pudding that you can make at home. And if you are listening, I will post the recipe on the Facebook group as well, because you probably haven't got a pen and paper to hand. So,
which you should do when you're listening to this.
Which you definitely should, because there's just so much to take down. Okay, so this is this ingredients, you'll have to forgive me, because the list that I've got here would serve 10 to 12 people. But I'm going to halve that, so you could do it for about 5 to 6 people, which I think is more suitable for sort of your standard flat. So you're going to need 55 grams of shredded suet. Now, you can get this in most supermarkets, we'll do it. You can get beef suet is normally probably the best one to use, but there is, of course, vegetable suet if you're vegetarian. Just keep your eyes out, obviously. In the sort of supermarkets at this time of year, it will be everywhere because it is sort of constituent for mince pies and Christmas puddings. 55 grams of white breadcrumbs. Now, you can make your own or you can just buy them in a shop again. Half a teaspoon of ground mixed spice. Now, you can replace that instead with using a little bit of grated nutmeg, a pinch of cinnamon. So therefore, you've got your sort of your own mix going on there. And then you need 110 grams of soft dark brown sugar, 55 grams of sultanas, 55 grams of raisins, 150 grams of currants. Again, like, if you don't like sultanas, you don't like raisins, you don't like currants, whatever. If you like one of them, just like put loads more
make
of
up
one
for
of
the
them
quantities
in.
If you want all raisins or all currants or whatever.
To be honest with you,
what's the difference in between those three?
I was going to say,
I don't know exactly. Do they taste? I don't think they taste that different.
There is. Ella, you don't know.
No. I think they all taste the same.
I don't. Raisins are by far the nicest, if anyone is wondering.
And that's the definitive.
That's definitive. Like, that's the
everyone's
difference.
Been told.
Basically, raisins are normally made from sort of dark grapes. So, like, either black or red grapes would make a raisin. A sultana is made from green grapes. It tends to be a little bit more gritty, in my opinion. And a currant. Now, I don't know whether that is a shriveled up black currant or what. I'd imagine it's something like that. Normally, if you buy a bag of currants, though, it seems to be mixed fruit. That's another thing you can do. Just buy a bag of dried mixed fruit.
Make your life easier.
Make your life so much easier. Right, £1 to £2 in Sainsbury's. Not much at all. Okay, so then you want to chop up one cooking apple. You don't need to peel it because you're going to basically be steaming this pudding, so it will just soften anyway. You need the zest of half an orange, the zest of half a lemon, and then you get your alcohol.
My favourite part.
The favourite part everyone's favorite of everyone's part. Christmas pudding. Okay, so you need 2 tablespoons of rum, 75 millilitres of barley rum, 75 millilitres of stout. So just to give you some suggestions there, your 2 tablespoons of rum, you could use Captain Morgan's Spice.
I just say chuck anything in.
And chuck as much as you want in. After you've got lots of ingredients, you just chuck it all in a bowl and mix it? Or is it kind of more...
Yeah, well, then you need just the final two things that you need there are 2 eggs and self-raising flour. And basically... one egg and some 25 grams of self-raising flour. So then what you want to do is just get a mixing bowl. You combine your flour, your suet, your breadcrumbs, your spices, your sugar, and then in another bowl you want to add your rum and all your other alcohol and your dried fruit. And then you mix that all together with the egg. And then you add your dry ingredients into that. And it will look a bit sloppy, but don't worry about it, because what you're going to do is you're going to then put it into your smaller bowl. Cover it with a layer of greaseproof paper, just something to sort of seal the top off, and pop it in the fridge for about 24 hours. When you then take that out, it should be a little bit more solid. You then put that whole bowl, don't try and tip it out of the bowl, it'll all go wrong. Put the whole bowl in a saucepan with the lid off, I think, but you basically fill the saucepan halfway with water and you're just sort of steaming it to cook it through. It won't be ready to eat after this. This is the kind of thing you do need to still make this Christmas pudding, like, you know, 2-3 days in advance.
I think you do need the lid on.
Yeah.
For steaming it.
Yeah. So you leave the lid on then. But obviously you want to have it on there for about 4 hours. This is the long bit. So you need to keep going back, obviously, topping it up with water, making sure that, you know, it's not drying out or anything. And then you pop that into the fridge until you're ready to eat it, and then when you are ready to eat it, you just pop it back in the pan for 1 hour to heat it through, and there you go.
That's great. So now we're going to play another Christmassy tune, Baby It's Cold Outside, a request from Chad, who's got his feature coming up next, Little Known Facts About Your Christmas Food. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Oh, baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like
my
ice.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, watch your
hand. My father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to that fireplace.
So really, I'd scurry.
Oh, beautiful, please don't hurt.
Maybe just a half
a
drink.
Why don't
you
put some records on while I pour?
The neighbors might think.
Oh, baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this train?
But there's no cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight.
To break this spell.
I'll take your hat, your hair looks swell.
I ought to say no.
If I move a little
at
close.
Least there will be that I tried.
What's the sound of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out.
I'll bet it's cold outside.
It's cold outside.
The answer is no.
You know it's cold outside.
This welcome has been.
I'm lucky that you dropped
so
in.
So nice and warm.
Look out the window. That's
my
gone.
My sister will be suspicious.
Oh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
Like waves upon a tropical shore.
My maiden and smile.
Ooh, your lips are delicious.
Or maybe just a cigarette more.
Never such a blizzard before.
I've got to go home.
Or maybe you would freeze out there.
You say lend me a comb.
You know it's up to your knees out there.
You've really been grand.
I pray when you touch
but
mine.
Welcome back to the Student Cookbook, and now that was a great song request, Jack.
That was great. That yeah. Baby, It's Cold Outside by Tom Jones and Kerris
Matthews.
Did
anyone go outside last night?
It was cold.
I was going to take the 30-second walk to Sainsbury's, but I did not risk it.
Yeah. So Chad, you've got some little-known facts about our Christmas food.
I do. Shock. So I've got three of them. So guys, when you was a kid, or maybe still now, did you leave anything out for Santa and his reindeer?
I did. Whiskey. I think mainly because my dad wanted to drink it.
Yeah, same. I discovered. I think my dad's like, I think Santa will really like this one this year. That one,
yeah.
You know, a bit of a bigger glass.
Yeah.
And a carrot.
Yeah, mince pie for Santa. And I mean, the most heartbreaking moment for me, like, if kids are at home, parents cover their ears. I don't know why parents would necessarily be listening.
Okay, carry on.
But the most heartbreaking moment for me was last year when my brothers went up to bed and like, it was all Christmassy. Yeah. My mum goes, would you like to eat the mince pie? And I went, what?
You're ruining the illusion. Yeah, I think on a side note, that is kind of how I think when I first realised that it was all fake, I was like, you're going to eat this, aren't you? But on average, people tend to leave out kind of carrots, mince pies, milk.
I was going to say milk for Rudolph.
Yep.
Like, well, we leave milk for Santa because...
But
I don't want you to drink and drive.
I think he needs some whiskey.
Drink driving.
Got a long night ahead of him. I think some alcohol.
He's not going to be saying that sleigh race right, though.
No, that's true.
But anyway, did you know they all add up to the tune of about £120 million, like, collectively? The amount of food
that's spent
on Santa. Which is a huge amount. And in fact,
it's... considering he's not real.
In fact, it's enough to buy Leeds United 4 times. That's how much money it is.
That is how much money it is.
Leeds United. So, £120 million.
£120 million.
Oh my god, that's shocking.
That is a lot. That is a lot. And it tends to be like the British that tend to give them alcoholic drinks rather than Americans, which are more like
that's
to give them
because
milk.
Because
Americans are funny about that. That's why.
Yeah. Anyway, and the next up. It takes us about half an hour to eat it, but it's taken a long time coming, our Christmas dinner. When do you think the first steps in producing your Christmas dinner were actually made?
Oh, as in, like, growing the food and stuff?
Sometime in spring when the turkey hatched.
Define spring.
Specific month.
March.
I'd say April.
I say March.
You're right. It is the start of March. Okay. That's when your Brussels sprouts get planted, which we all know are a critical part of Christmas dinner.
A critical I love I'm gonna defend the Brussels sprout here. I love Brussels sprouts.
I'll be honest with you, they're a critical part so long because they are like just like a bit like a fruit bowl. They're just left to sit there in the
table. They're like the forgotten fruit.
You need to cook them properly.
They're a different. I don't really like the sprout flavour, but like I've had some really nice ones that are kind of shredded and cooked with bacon.
My mum puts them with chestnuts. And that actually is a really nice kind of mix of things and Christmassy.
They're selling hot chestnuts in Leeds City Centre by the Trinity Centre.
Yeah, but to be fair, they've been selling them like all year round. I remember coming in like September and
don't ruin it.
I mean, sorry, that's something that's only taken place last week. Yeah. So they're the earliest steps in your Christmas dinner, all the way back in March. But then after that, your potatoes, carrots and parsnips get planted in April. The piglets that eventually become tasty pigs in blankets are born at the end of May. And your turkey starts life in July.
Do we eat? Is it that quick, the turnaround? Like, we have the piglets that were born this year.
Because I live down the road from a pig farm back at home, Derbyshire for you. And it's always sad because you always see the little piglets in spring, and then it's always like, yep.
See, I thought they at least had a year. I didn't think the turnaround was quite that quick.
No, because they can be bred to grow as fast as possible, could just save money. On a similar note, talking of turkeys. Spare a thought for them this Christmas, because not only are they the meal of choice for the British Christmas dinner?
Sorry, I'm
going
to have to, like...
Don't ruin it. But when they are alive, they don't actually get to have any special turkey time with each other. So spare a thought for them. That's because, unfortunately for the modern-day turkey, it's been bred to have lots of white meat. Modern birds are twice as big as they used to be, and that means the breasts of the bird are just too big to get into position. Instead, farmers and assistants regularly have to do everything by hand.
So all of our turkeys are artificially inseminated.
Basically,
that's what you're saying.
But if you do feel sorry for these turkeys,
they must be sexually frustrated.
I think they are. I think that's why they're actually quite aggressive. I think that's probably why they don't have any release.
Well, no, they do. It's just not at the hands. Well, Anyway, but if you do feel sorry for them, you could buy yourself like a fun loving heritage turkey. But they haven't gone.
Oh god, that sounds a bit dodgy. Jack.
Yeah, they haven't gone through as much artificial selection, meaning they can still do it. But they come at a price though. Your average heritage turkey will cost you about three times as much, which is
a
lot of money.
Would you pay for a heritage turkey?
We do.
I think my family would.
But yeah, they do grow a lot slower. So obviously the ones that are kind of growing to be big and grow faster, they grow quick and they grow big. But the heritage ones grow over a long time.
Yeah. Talking about stop murdering birds at all and just not eat turkey?
But turkey's really...
I actually don't like turkey. So
do you have something else at Christmas, Beth?
Do you have chicken? Pardon?
Do you have something else other than turkey? Or do you...
Do you have goose?
Well, no. You see, like, everyone else in my house likes turkey. So we get turkey and I just don't eat it.
Mm. Well, my housemate has roast beef on Christmas.
If my mum's listening, she'll be like, you're lying, you do eat it.
I'm normally okay with, like, obviously being a vegetarian with, like, birds and, like, meat and stuff. But one thing I don't understand is, like, a three bird roast or four bird roast, because that just makes
there's a five bird roast in Aldi, by the way.
Just stick to one bird.
It's like, why do you want to stuff a bird into another bird? It's like,
I think it's a bit of a waste, isn't it? I don't know if you actually,
because
all
the flavors
combine
and you don't differentiate them.
I think turkey's traditional. My dad's trying to push the goose this year, saying we should have goose. So my sister and my dad are like, we should have goose. And my mum and I are like, we should stick with turkey.
No, it's not really American. I think turkey's American.
No, because they would traditionally have turkey on Thanksgiving and then have like ham or goose on Christmas Day.
Did it taste pretty much different, though, like goose and turkey? Like, did it actually taste...
Yeah, goose has got a lot more fat in it. So the fat runs off and you can use that to roast your potatoes. And it's a bit of a darker meat, which is why it isn't as popular. Because turkey's mostly white meat, as Chad is saying. So that's become, you know, leaner meat is more wanted now.
I have a fun Christmassy fact for you.
Okay.
This is something that I've always remembered, and that is that during the reign of Henry VIII, do you know what the traditional Christmas bird was?
Magpie pie?
Pigeon.
No. I don't know.
No. No, in like pheasant. In the royal household.
Swan.
No. Swan is pretty close. It was peacock. That was the traditional Christmas bird.
I was watching a program last night. It's on 4OD. It was Heston's Fantastical Feasts, and he did Christmas, and he made brawn because they did that in Tudor times, which is just
brawn?
Like
a brawn?
Pig's head. They boil it down and stuff.
No.
And it's vile. Looks vile. My dad made it once. It just stank the house out.
Where did he find the pig's head?
Butchers.
I'm sure they've got loads of them.
Just kicking around in the back.
What did they do with like the rest of the pig? Like the
make
head?
Stock with them, I'm guessing, and like and sausages and stuff.
Well, those are our little known Christmas foodie facts. Hope that's kind of made you think a bit more about your turkeys.
Think about the turkey on Christmas Day.
Think about the plight of the turkey. So now we're going to play Do They Know It's Christmas? Is a request by Emily.
It
and
is.
Then we've got her Viva La Veggie. So we'll be back after this.
It's Christmas time. There's no need. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shade. And in our world of plenty, we can spread a smile of joy. Throw your arms around the world at Christmas time.
Only one.
Okay, and we're back with the student cookbook. It is nearly 25 to 2, and now we've got Viva la Veggie with Emily.
Yes.
Did you enjoy that song?
It's my favourite. Well, it's my second favourite, because we couldn't exactly find my Pogues favourite, could we, Ella?
Yeah, we couldn't.
Unfortunately. But I don't understand Band-Aid 30. It's not as good.
No.
Especially because One Direction are in it. But yeah. Oh well.
Okay, well, moving on from that.
Controversial comment.
We're wanting happy Christmas vibes in the studio
today. Happy Christmas vibes.
Vegetarian Christmas, then.
Yes. When I tell people I'm vegetarian, they'll always say to me, well, first of all, how do you survive? And secondly, what do you eat on Christmas Day? Because I think it can be a bit... Because turkey is the centre.
Do you have this stereotypical vegetarian nut roast?
Yeah.
No, I think...
Because that is like the stereotype for vegetarians
always,
on Christmas
Day.
If you
go out for a Christmas meal, it's always like the vegetarian
option
is the nut roast.
Well, it used to be, but I've sort of seen a transition... Ooh. Recently, which is no longer not very.
Breaking
I think.
News.
Is it like the scene on About a Boy at Christmas at your house?
I've not seen that film for a while.
You haven't seen this film?
I have seen it. It's a count. He watches Countdown with Hugh Grant.
For those,
you see, yes, Hugh Grant's my fourth future husband.
She's got a list.
Fourth.
Okay.
Shall we just
plug Box Office while you're on it?
Yeah. Well, for those who don't know, Emily also does stuff for Box Office and knows everything about
film. 4 o'clock, and yeah, it's a good show.
Anyway, so vegetarian Christmas.
what scene in About a Boy is it about?
This the Christmas scene.
I can't remember.
Where they're unwrapping presents, he has like the worst presents ever, and he gets really excited, and they have all this horrible looking like just the worst kind of vegetarian food,
and
Hugh Grant's just like,
yeah. Well. Nut roast did used to be a sort of like the in thing, but now it's like I don't see it anywhere. Because I mean, I've never gone out for Christmas dinner, but I have had like Christmas dinners at like earlier in Christmas periods. And like it's always tart, which I think is really interesting. Mm. Like having like a tart at the centre.
Normally they do like a cauliflower cheese tart. They sort of combine like your Yorkshire pudding and your cauliflower cheese and give you a tart.
So obviously at Christmas, us vegetarians, we don't just starve. I mean, we can have the roast potatoes just without goose fat. And you can have like your roast parsnips and honey, and you just have all your roasted veg and all your like sweet potato mash and Yorkshire puddings. So you can get vegetarian stuffing, vegetarian gravy, which is just as yummy, I presume.
I was going to say, how do you know?
Because, you know, I've been vegetarian all my life, but my mum and dad enjoy it. But, I mean, my family, we just have, like, vegetarian sausages because we're quite boring at Christmas because we just, like, love our veg. But I can't speak now. I've gone out for meals, like, and had, like, loads of different tarts. You can make them very Christmas-themed. I put loads of spices in. You can make it some Moroccan. You can put walnuts in. Mm. Cheese. I'm not that a fan of cheese, but, like, stuff like brie and mushroom, like, works very well. You know, like, put pesto in, goat's cheese and brie. So there's loads of different tarts you can do, which, like, is, like, quite a good centrepiece.
Yeah, I was going to say, for Christmas, it's the kind of meal where it's not, like, lots of different things. It's that massive. It's, like, it is lots of different things because you have the trimmings, but the main thing
it's
is
your
the centrepiece. It's the turkey, or in this case, the tart.
Well, Emily, just for you, when I did the Christmas shop for the party, I made sure that there's no goose fat. It's all veggie friendly.
Thank you, Beth. It is good. And I for my roast potatoes, I cook them in carrot oil, which gives them
a thing. That's carrot oil.
Yeah,
I've used it for like
carotene.
Tanning on holiday. Yeah.
Is it bright? Like, is it bright orange? Then?
It's like olive oil, but it's got like carrots in it. It's called carotene oil. I think it's a
carrot. Do you smell on carrots on holiday then?
No,
she just looks like one.
Oh, Emily.
That was a good burn.
Do you attract all the vegetarians on holiday?
No, it's just like a horse. It's a horse she attracts.
It's like catnip. Yeah. It's like catnip for vegetarians.
I give it a heart.
Oh, God. So, carotene oil.
So, back to carotene oil. So, yeah, it's like carrot infused. Like, it doesn't taste like carrots. Don't worry, guys. I'm not like killing you with carrots. But it sort of gives the roast potatoes a bit of sort of orangey tint, and it makes them all really nice and golden. Just cooks them really well. And like, it's really nice to like carrot and swede mash as well.
That's what it does to my skin. Makes it nice and golden.
Yeah, you can see in the dark better as well. So that works.
I glow.
Yeah, that works really well for like. That's why I like to cook my vegetables in. And yeah, like stuffing in Yorkshire puddings, like you can get vegetarian stuff in, like you were saying about suet, you can just get vegetarian alternatives. A lot of people have corn at Christmas. They do corn do turkey, so corn style turkey, which a lot of people have Christmas. I'm not a big fan of corn.
I was going to say, are you one of the because I think there's a sort of divide between vegetarians. There's people who don't eat meat but would eat corn, which is sort of made to taste like meat. And then there are people who are against the idea of even just the taste of it.
Yeah, so. I don't understand why. I think corn is for people who are eating meat, like who have eaten meat in the past and like are transitioning to becoming vegetarians.
Right.
And that's sort of because its texture is still there. But for me, because I've never eaten meat,
yeah,
I don't really see the point of it. Like, why would I want it's to not eat something that's nice, meant to be designed? Yeah. It doesn't ever look appetizing. I've tried it, like the mince, because you can make, like, I went to the corn website for research and they have stuff like garlic, mushroom, sausages, and like corn Wellington you can use with corn mincemeat, but it just doesn't. I just use vegetables, people.
Yeah, I think the vegetables, the root vegetables at Christmas are always kind of sidelined. I think they need to become more popular and more mainstream. That's what I'd like, because I have celeriac mash in my house, which is really nice.
Butternut squash, I think it's great at Christmas. I think it's very pumpkin as well. You can bring in pumpkin. I think like with tarts, you can shove anything in a tart if you want to make it nice and spicy.
What are your opinions on parsnips?
Ooh. Honey roasted.
Honey roasted. Do they need the honey? I personally don't think they need it, but
I like a bit of honey, but only like not too much.
I think you do a mix. You do like a honey butter mix, and you sort of just brush it on them throughout the.
And what are your opinions? What's your opinion on sprouts? Your vegetarian's opinion on sprouts? You don't like them. Who likes sprouts in the studio? Anyone else? No,
Chad doesn't. No,
just me.
I'm one of these like people. I don't think it's clear cut. It's not like a Marmite situation, and even Marmite's not clear cut. Just throwing that one in there.
you're just ruining their whole marketing.
The whole ad campaign. Yeah.
I'll have like two, and like up to like two or three.
Two.
Up to two or three sprouts. Loads. I'm like, that was enjoyable.
We
but
always get
more
extra
than that
sprouts.
And
it's amazing. And also, what vegetables do you guys have on Christmas Day for the non-vegetarians? What kind of vegetables do you have? Is it always the same
we
stuff,
or
do you vary it?
We vary it. We have sort of, you know, all the classic-y bits like peas, sweet corn, carrots, parsnips, potatoes.
You see, I'm not really a fan of parsnips. Like, I've had a tumultuous relationship with them. Like,
it's been love and hate, hasn't it?
Parsnips / the devil's potatoes, I call them, because when I was a kid, my mum always cooked them with the potatoes, and they do look convincingly like roast potatoes if you like cook them with it. But then I'd bite into it, and then it'd be horrible, and so I'd end up like smelling them over Christmas, like before I touched anything that looked faintly like a potato.
Oh,
is this
so
a parsnip?
You're quite suspicious of.
I'm
your
suspicious
Christmas.
Of Christmas
surely
parsnips.
Parsnips are like a lot thinner, and
it depends.
No, because if you chop them like with the same size as roast potatoes, you can scar a kid.
I do them a little.
I have a similar thing, Chad, and that was with sweet potato and carrots. See, as a kid, I hated carrots, like absolutely hated them, and. But my mum would always sort of put them, again, like with the potatoes, and we'd have potato and sweet potato. So I'd be like, oh, grab a bit of that sweet potato, and then suddenly be like, carrots.
So I've got a question. Let's say you're having to host me for dinner on Christmas Day. What would you make me? Except for the vegetables, of course.
Except for vegetables. Oh, I think, as you mentioned, tarts, I probably would make something like that. Maybe a short crust tart with like leeks or something in it, but I don't know what vegetables you like. I would ask you.
See, I'm tricky as well.
She's kind of you told us before you're a fussy eater.
Anything
roasted vegetables, maybe some kind of like warming vegetable stew or something like that. I don't know. Actually,
one thing I did see in BBC Good Food website was a spiced Christmas tagine, which I thought was very...
Tagine.
It's not a tagine. Tagine. Right, I need to tell my mum back. I thought it was sweet potato, roasted red peppers, almonds, raisins, and I thought that was quite...
That would be very interesting. It is different, and...
Yeah.
I think people think with tagines, because it's from Morocco, you kind of have to cook it in one of the proper pots.
Tagine,
but I think you can make it without...
Yeah, I mean, my mum makes tagine on a regular basis. It's very good for vegetarians, a lot of Moroccan food. It's really nice and spicy as well, like Moroccan spices. I think it's really...
I think maybe
something
with other flavours, because otherwise you might be lacking in... might make you a veggie goulash, actually, which is just like a paprika tomato stew. That's one of my favourites.
What would you make me, Chad?
Dinner. Christmas.
I would just make it a white... Well, I always have like a starter of... like last year I made like I know it's not very Christmassy, but like a tomato basil soup, but...
Yeah.
It was
soup
very nice.
Soup always works as a starter.
Soup always works as a starter. Then I just make a wide selection of vegetables, so that at least there's going to be some that you like. but only ones that I like. So, like, last year I didn't actually make any sprouts, because, nope, I don't really like them. No.
Did you make Christmas dinner for your family last
year? Yeah, last year.
Ooh, cute.
I don't think they're listening, so I can kind of say that I kind of would rather do it than have my mum's version.
Oh my god!
I hope she's not listening. No, they're at Christmas.
Yeah, you can't take that back. That is now.
He's going to go home and his mum will be like, he'll sit down and she'll go, no, Chad, you're in the corner this year.
Go next door.
No, to be fair, she agreed last year that mine was better. So I made that last year and it was very nice. I even brined the turkey the day before. That's dedication.
Yeah, that is dedication.
And it was very nice. It goes really moist, the turkey. good word.
Stop with the innuendo. We've had enough talk about turkey sex today.
So I did that. I just make like a wide selection of veg. Everyone can help themselves to whatever they want. And then when you've probably got enough with the starter, and then you've also got the dessert as well, and all the veg. Like that's you won't be hungry.
Was your mum your sous chef? Did she or did you do it all?
I imagine
she has a bit of a dictator in the kitchen.
Well, I don't mind doing it all myself, but
she
came in to like just to feel like she was part of it.
I got her. She wanted to come in to feel like she was a part of it. Who are you? Worst son in the world.
She was a sous chef.
Yeah. On that bombshell, we're going to play Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and then I've got Christmas foods from around the world. So we will be back with that.
Town.
welcome back to the Student Cookbook.
That was an interesting version of that
song. Yeah, I think we don't know exactly what version of All I Want for Christmas that was, but we were kind of expecting some
if
kind
you
of...
needed All I Want for Christmas You to be more danceable.
Yeah, that's the
solution.
And so now I'm going to be talking to you about Christmas food from around the world. For those of you who don't know, I do French and Spanish, so I kind of know about the French and Spanish Christmas, where they do have slightly different food. But also I'm going to be talking about in Eastern Europe, places like Czech Republic and Hungary, they have carp instead of turkey or other meats and fish soup and things like that, which I think is quite interesting.
Italians have a lot of seafood at Christmas.
Yeah, I think what I've found with my research is that they don't, most other places when they do Christmas, they don't just do like one piece of meat, they do lots, a whole range. So it's like a whole spread of you've got beef, you've got pork, you've got seafood, and it goes on for days and days and days. It's not just Christmas Day. It starts on Christmas Eve and it can go on until about the 6th of January.
Well, the British thing is to have like beef Wellington on Boxing Day.
Yeah.
I think a lot of countries, and over Italy, like New Year's Eve is a big thing. Actually, now it's when they have like their massive dinner rather than Christmas Day. And for Germany it's the same. Germans have things. Christmas Eve or Boxing Day, they have
A lot of
dinner.
A lot of Christmas places. It's Christmas Eve is the most important sort of day, with family and friends coming over, staying up, going to midnight mass, and having lots and lots of food and drink. And
also, like most countries, like Germany and sort of anywhere across Europe, really, they don't actually put the tree up until Christmas Eve. The tree goes up on Christmas Eve.
Yeah,
and
we normally
like,
do a week before Christmas as well.
Didn't
in my
you
house.
Spend Christmas in Munich once, Beth? Or is that a lie?
No, that's true.
What did you eat in Munich?
What did I eat? I ate a lot of cake and biscuits. No, but Christmas Day, actually, we had I think we had like a goose or something like that. It wasn't a turkey. It was a sort of small bird. But again, like we had like a big meal the night before on Christmas Eve.
Is it a schnitzel?
Schnitzel with noodle.
That was
actually really nice. But like really there, I think it was just like my sort of like host mum. She just put loads of food on the table. I couldn't tell you what half of it was. But one thing that we had, especially because it's in Bavaria, was that then on the day after Christmas, her dad made a Bavarian stew with Bavarian dumplings, which is just the best thing.
What's Bavarian about Bavarian dumpling and stew?
I was going to ask that.
You can't see if you're listening at home, but like they're about this big, which
is about two fists.
And they're sort of basically he would spend hours before we had dinner but just like crumbling up like a whole two loaves of bread to make these dumplings.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah, they're really good.
So in Spain they kind of have different traditions. They do eat a lot. They have things like but on New Year's, which I thought was quite a interesting little tradition that I learned about in A level, was that on New Year's Eve, with every clock strike, when the clock strikes 12, you have to eat a grape.
Yeah.
And if you manage to eat all 12 of them, then you have a good year. And if you don't, then it's like a bad luck year.
I remember this because we were like, how is that possible? That must be tricky to like eat a grape every night. Yeah.
Well, but to be fair, it's like dong.
I think
if you choose the right size grape, as long as you don't go for those massive mega ones, the big ones, like you got to be careful, like wise with your
just
choice.
Just like two bites and swallow.
And other places like Argentina and Australia, I have a friend Justine who wrote a little blog about what they do for Australian Christmas, and they have it on the beach, and they have like a barbecue sometimes. But they also do have things like Christmas pudding. They have certain English traditions that mix with, obviously, because they have better weather. And Argentina, they just have a massive spread of grill.
I've spent Christmas in Australia before.
I couldn't imagine hot weather
on Christmas.
No,
seems a bit weird, doesn't it? The other thing is like I don't understand. What do they send on a Christmas card? Like Santa on a surfboard?
I think they do. They do. Yeah, they do use like snowy scenes.
They use snowy scenes.
Well, also I think in France they kind of have a similar traditions to in England because of the whole Christian thing. But actually I think that's about all we've got time for, as it's our last show of the term. That'll be goodbye, Merry Christmas from me. So I'm Ella.
I'm Beth.
I'm Chad.
I'm Emily.
Have a Merry Christmas. We'll be playing Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, and up next it's Weekly Wildlife with Tanya.
So stay tuned and Gabrielle. We'll be back in the new year.
Yeah. Okay.
Ooh.
Bye.
Bye.
walking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see, every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling. You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear. Bows of holly rocking around the Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way. Holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way.
This is Leeds Student Radio.
Sound.
Students
in Leeds.
Delivering over 100 hours of broadcasting made by 300 students every week.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello and welcome.
And
it's all about you.
You.
You. You. You.
This is Leeds Student Radio.
Would you say we'd be venturing into a zone of danger?
Danger Zone. Every Friday from 7 p.m. at Fab Cafe. Playing the pop and rock anthems you love. With drink deals all night long. There's only one place where everyone's your wingman.
I went to the danger zone. Right into the danger zone.
Danger Zone, only at Fab Cafe.
A family-run business with over 40 years' experience in providing affordable and reliable accommodation.
Winners of the Leeds Landlord Award.
You should look no further than Spencer Properties when choosing where to live next year.
Spencer Properties own all the homes they let out and work closely with the Knowledge Project to promote safe, reliable housing for student and professional communities.
Visit spencer-properties.co.uk for more information and follow @SpencerProp on Twitter for all their latest listings.
Spencer Properties, the number